Music this one. Because someone came and said, you know, this is a very powerful mic.
Okay.
So it interferes this one.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, yeah. So they give this system to this one. So, okay. Right place. Next fourth point is Vajrasattva meditation. So first I'll read from Tsongkhapa's text. Next reading is from Changjia's text. Recitation and meditation of Vajrasattva, out of which first is taking refuge and generation of Bodhicitta. In front of yourself in the space, imagine the complete mandala of Hirupa. And that main deity should be imagined as the Lama Vajradhara, and around that imagine Bodhisattvas and the Sanghas of the three vehicles, Dharma protectors, as if they are filling the whole space. And then on your right and left and front and back, you should imagine your parents and other sentient beings, and then reflect on the nature, how they are tormented by sufferings and how they suffer in the cycle of existence, and then develop the trusting faith that these objects of refuge that you have imagined in front has the capacity to protect, and then develop wholehearted trust to these objects of refuge. And then develop compassion by reflecting on their sufferings, and develop a wish, thinking how nice if they meet with the happy, with the uncontaminated happiness, and therefore by following this profound path, I will quickly achieve the state of Heruka for the benefit of all sentient beings. So that is also this kind of generation of Bodhicitta. And taking refuge is also known as the power of the object. And then the actual recitation and meditation of Vajrasattva. On your crown, imagine white syllable palm, which transforms into white lotus with 8 petals, whose root is reddish, and whose hub is green yellow, and the and on that imagine a white syllable R, from which transforms into a moon disk, white color like a full moon disk, and on that imagine a white syllable Hung, which is actually the entity of the wisdom of the inseparability of bliss and emptiness of all the minds of the Buddhas, and then imagine the melting of this syllable home. And at the hub of the five spoked white vajra, imagine syllable, white syllable home. And imagine emanation of countless rays of light towards 10 directions from this. And on the tip of some of these rays of light, imagine the female deities making offerings to the Buddhas and producing uncontaminated bliss in the mind, in their mind. And on the tip of some of these rays of light, imagine Vajrasattva, male and female. And then imagine the melting of nectar of Bodhicitta from the place of their union. And imagine this nectar entering through your fontanel and filling your whole body and purifying the two obscurations. And imagine that you achieve the state of Vajrasattva. And then invite these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the form of Vajrasattva, and imagine them dissolving into the syllable hum at the hub of the Vajra on your crown, and that in turn melts and arises into the male and female Vajrasattva, and then you should gradually visualize them. The male Vajrasattva is of white color, one face, two hands, and the female Dorje Nyima is white color, one face, two hands. They are in union, and unlike the Guha Samaja process of visualization of Vajrasattva, here you need to visualize them wearing bone ornaments. And then imagine the invitation of wisdom being similar to the male and female Vajrasattva from the space, and they become inseparable. Again, imagine emanation of rays of light, and invite the male and female Buddhas of the five lineages. And then initiations are conferred and requests are made. And then the male deities make the gesture of giving the initiations. And the female deities holding the vase filled with nectar confers the initiation on your crown. And your whole body filled with the nectar. And the water overflows. And you are crowned by Akshobhya, blue color, holding Vajra and bell. And next power out of the four antidotal power is the power of removing the negative deeds. This refers to removing the negative deeds that you have committed from beginningless time. Either it is natural deed, a negative deed, or negative deed in the sense of violating the prohibited rules. And particularly, you are not relying properly towards your spiritual teacher in this life, or having violated the three vows. So try to recall all the wrongdoings, negative deeds, and then develop strong sense of regret as if you have swallowed poison. And then make supplication to the Vajrasattvas. So you need to make effort towards this practice until you get the signs of having purified the negative deeds. Next reading is from Thakur's text. And in which case he says that one of the worst kind of obstruction for cultivating spiritual paths within one's mind is the violation of pledges and commitments, and therefore the method of purifying them is relying on the four antidotal powers through the deity yoga practice of Vajrasattva. So when you take refuge and generate bodhicitta in relation to the objects towards which you need to confess the negative deeds, then that is called the first power, the power of object. And then the second, imagining Vajrasattva as a witness, and then developing strong regret towards the negative deeds that you have performed in the past, is called the power of removing the negative deeds. And one pointedly entering into the deity yoga of meditating on the wisdom of inseparability of bliss and emptiness while reciting special mantras is called the power of the antidote. Our not being able to put an end to the continuity of negative deeds is because of having not total trust and belief towards the cause-effect relationship, and that in turn is rooted in our not having wholehearted trust to the three objects of refuge, Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So therefore, when you develop intense devotion and trust to Vajrasattva and take refuge towards it, and in this way, when you stop committing negative deeds any further, then that is called the power of no more repeating the negative deeds. So therefore, as is outlined clearly in the text, you should not get lost simply on the word, but to reflect on the meaning and ensure that you are able to cultivate these four antidotal powers in while doing the Vajrasattva yoga, and while you recite the 100 syllable mantras, and then after that imagine the Vajrasattva dissolves within yourself. So in short, you should imagine all the objects of refuge. For example, in the case of a merit field, that you imagine when you practice the lamrim or stages of the path, and imagining this merit field as present in front of yourself. And then as is found in the prayer text of Chakrasamara, that I will forever particularly take refuge to the master, to the acharya, and then during such recitations you should particularly take refuge to the lama. So there are many ways of taking refuge to the external external refuge. That means when you wholeheartedly take refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, which is in the continuum of some other person, then that is called taking external refuge. And then the deities that you are meditating are those that you will actualize one day. So in order to achieve them, when you visualize the great bliss as your object, then that is called taking internal refuge. So similarly, there are the secret refuge, Next reading is from Thichan Rinpoche's text. Vajrasattva recitation and meditation. And in general, in order to cultivate any kind of realization, it is very much dependent on your having accumulated merit and purified negative deeds, and thereby matured and ripened your mind. And it is in this context, Tsongkhapa has also said that in order to develop genuine realization, you should see the Lama and the personal deity as inseparable and make supplication to them, and then make effort in accumulating merit and purifying negative deeds. And likewise, you should sustain your practice of visualizing as a substantial cause. So when you integrate these three practices together, then you will be able to achieve much success in your practice. And Tsongkhapa himself had practiced in this way, and it is through that way that he was able to develop untainted realization of the view of emptiness. And similarly, the great Geshe Tholpa also instructed a student by saying that occasionally you should accumulate merit, occasionally you should purify negative deeds, occasionally you should make supplication to the deities and the Lama, and then as a substantial cause, you should continue to maintain your meditation and visualization. And if you work hard and undertake practice in this way, then it is the nature of a conditioned phenomena that they never remain static, meaning that you will be able to develop those qualities which you earlier thought you will not be able to develop them even after 100 years of practice. So therefore, for us, in order to actualize the state of the three bodies of the Heruka, the worst obstruction is negative deeds, obscurations, and breakage of vows and commitments. So therefore, it is important to remove these obstructions and defilements. And particularly in order to purify negative deeds, this recitation and meditation on Vajrasattva is extremely important. And in general, to make sure that a great negative deed is purified, you need to cultivate the four antidotal powers. So therefore, taking refuge and generation of bodhicitta is the power of the object. This is called power of object, because if you fall on the ground, then you had to get up by seeking the support of the ground itself. So likewise, we accumulated negative deeds either in relation to the Buddhas, the enlightened beings, or in relation to the sentient beings. So therefore, by taking refuge and generation of bodhicitta, we have to get up from negative deeds. And then with regard to the process of refuge, I already explained the two process of refuge, external and internal. The secret refuge here refers to the fact that when the power of your energy and channels and the drops increase, and as a result of which, when you are able to see everything that is visible as a manifestation of a deity, then at that point you take refuge to even the helpless insects on the earth within the impure environment. You take refuge even to them. That is called secret refuge, taking the sacred refuge. So here we primarily take refuge, do the practice of taking the internal refuge, where you imagine that you are surrounded by all the sentient beings, including your parents and oneself, and all sentient beings are frightened by the sufferings of bad rebirth and sufferings within the samsara. And the power to protect from these fears and sufferings is there within the objects of refuge that we have imagined in front of us. And therefore the Sublime Lama, who is without fault and full of qualities, is the teacher. And the true path of cessation and the path in relation to the generation and completion stage practice is the actual refuge. And the male and female deities of the three places and all other Dharma protectors possessing the wisdom eye are the Sangha that helps you achieve the refuge. And in order to achieve their state, I will take refuge only to them. So you should develop this kind of determination. By taking Vajrasattva as the witness, you should develop strong regret towards the negative deeds that you have done. So this is, as we explained earlier, is like having swallowed poison. For example, if there are three people who had eaten poison, and then as a result, if one dies and one becomes sick and one is still not sick, then in the case of this person who is still not sick, even though he is not sick, but he will still not be comfortable, and he will continue to seek the advice of the doctors and continue to take medicine and try to have the poison vomited out and so forth. So likewise, we have sentient beings in the bad migration who are already born in the bad migration because of having performed negative deeds. And so we should imagine that even though right now we are not born in that bad migration, but it is definite that we will also be born into those realms. And so you know, to stop us from being born into that realm, we need to reflect on the negative deeds that we have committed in many lives. And one of the best way of purifying this negative deed is to develop strong sense of regret and to make a commitment not to commit them in the future. And in order to do genuine confession, it is important to develop faith towards the cause-effect relationship as is explained in the stages of the path. With regard to the process of purifying the negative deeds, in the, I think it's Shantideva, in his text called Compendium of Trainings or Shiksha Samuchya, he points six methods of purifying negative deeds. That is by relying on the name, by relying on prayers, by relying on profound sutras, and so on. So this recitation of 100 syllable mantra is a recitation that you do in the form of making a request. And when you do this recitation, you should relax the pride, but do not relax the clarity of being a deity. Then also text explains in detail about the process of visualization of the falling of the nectars. So just as water would sparge out from a new earthen pot, so similarly imagine from the heart of Vajrasattva coming off the nectars. And in the case of this visualization of flow of nectars, it can be done in three ways. One is bringing the nectar from above downwards. That is to imagine that your whole body is filled with the nectar, and then the negative deeds and obscurations are thrown out from the lower opening. And in the case of the visualization of nectar being pushed from down upwards, imagine that the nectars start filling from the sole of your feet upwards, and then comes out from your mouth and throats. And then the third way of imagining is to imagine all the negative deeds and obscurations being present at your heart in the form of a dark suit. And then just as garbage or dust is removed with a strong wind, so similarly imagine that all these negative deeds that are collected at your heart are being pushed away, so that not even a trace is left. So whichever is convenient can be visualized. And then there is a very pertinent advice here, where it says that every day, in order to leave a positive imprint, it is very important to do a complete visualization of the whole stages of the path. And even if you are able to leave a positive imprint towards the whole spiritual stages of the path, then from this you will derive greater benefit than being able to see the face of a personal deity, or having accumulated millions of great retreats, or having actualized clairvoyance and many miraculous powers. So this is in accordance with the instruction of the great throne holder, Tembarabji, teaching Tembarabji. So next will be the recitation from Tsongkhapa's text, which now refers to the three purifications. In the yoga of the three purifications, So according to this text of Tsongkhapa, we are now discussing the second point, which is the process of accomplishing the branches of the yoga. This has two points. The first point refers to the process of purifying the three doors. So here, verbally you should recite Shri Hiruka and then reflect on its meaning. Hey, now this is actually there in your English translation of the three purification. The word hey refers to the mind, which is the source of everything. So when you analyze the nature of this cause, the source, the mind, and then in this way you are talking about the selflessness of the phenomena. So the word he represents selflessness of the phenomena, and the word ru symbolizes the selflessness of the person. Selflessness of phenomena is taught first, because normally it is grasping of the phenomena that you develop the grasping of the person. For example, in relation to your psychophysical aggregates, you develop grasping, and then in relation to that, you develop the grasping of the person and the self. And now, for example, if we analyze the nature of the gross psychophysical aggregates, then we will always find that the person is not there on the grosser level of the psychophysical aggregate. And in this way, if we go on analyzing the person, then we might think that the person should be the most subtle mind, which almost looks like the creator of everything. So it is in this way you first of all analyze the nature of this mind, and it is because of this importance that in the mind only school of thought, they also in the mind only school of thought, they discuss about the lack of independent existence of the external object, but does not discuss about the lack of independent existence of the mind. So here when we say the mind is the source of everything, we are not talking about the philosophy of the mindful school of thought, where it says that everything is of the mind. So this mind, which is the source of everything, if you analyze the nature of this mind also, then you will not find a mind as having independent or inherent existence. So the very target of self-grasping will disappear. Now in the case of the selflessness of the person, that means even though the self-grasping, because of its conceptions, because of its network-like conceptions, it arranges so many things as having independent or inherent existence. But when you analyze, you will find that this also has no inherent existence. The word ka, the meaning explained, represented by ka, is a little bit difficult to understand. So, in short, it seems that the word ka symbolizes the the nature of existence, of inseparability of the object and the subject mind, whereas the word Shri represents the wisdom, primordial wisdom, that has thoroughly understood this inseparability of the subject and the object. In Tsongkhapa's great tantric stages of the path, when he explains the Om Shunyata Jana Benza Sobhava Emakoham, and then when he explains the meaning of the word Swabhava, Swabhava refers to the nature, it refers to the natural purity, being free from temporary defilements, and therefore it abides in its real nature. So this probably refers to the ultimate nature of the mind, that is the leg of inherent existence of the object. And if you analyze the nature of this mind, which sees the leg of inherent existence of the object, then this mind too has no inherent existence. So this probably is talking about the mind realizing its own nature as having no inherent existence. So this means that this word Shri denotes the meaning that the wisdom that realizes the object and subject as having no inherent existence, the nature of this mind or wisdom itself is such that it has no inherent existence, and so therefore it realizes its own nature. So in that case, the word ka simply speaks about the actual nature of both the subject and the object as having no inherent existence, and the Shri represents that primordial wisdom which discerns its own nature. So this probably is the meaning, but it's a very difficult point. And then from the state of emptiness, you instantaneously arise into Heruka, one face, two hands, holding Vajra and bell, right leg outstretched in union with Vajra Varahi, one face, two hands. And then with the wish to benefit all sentient beings, you recite the lines Shri Herukoham three times. And then you maintain the divine pride, meaning that you imagine yourself as Heruka. So this visualization of yourself is being transformed into the body of Heruka. Male and female is the purification of a body out of the three purification practices. This is the practice of purifying your body. And then you recite the mantra that starts from Om and ends with Hong Hong Pe. You recite these lines of vowels and consonants three times. And then at your navel, with the rays of light, imagine these rings of mantras moving three times. Anti-clockwise, and then remaining there, and then from there imagine the emanation of host of deities of the three cycles, which comes out from your nostril and goes towards all the directions and removes all the obstructive forces, comes back, enters through your left nostril and dissolves in the mantra at your navel. So this is the practice of purifying your speech. So reflecting on the meaning of Shri Heruka was the process of purifying your mind. Next reading is from Changja's text. There is a verse which briefly explains these four letters, Shri Heruka, from a tantric text called the Kunchu, in which case what Shri refers to the wisdom of indivisibility, He refers to the emptiness of the cause, and Ru speaks about being free from any kind of arrangement, and Ka explains the meaning of non-abidance in any object. So the meaning of it's important to meditate on the meaning of these four words, in which case the word he, in the case of the word he, it is the source of the mandala that you are going to meditate later on. This is therefore called as the causal factor, in the sense that this he represents the mind that has always been existent at your heart. And even in the case of this mind, in the form of the causal factor, if you analyze and examine its nature, then you will find it as having empty nature, in the sense that it doesn't have inherent existence, so there's meaning of selflessness of the phenomena. And in the case of Ru, it is due to observing a person and seeing it as having true existence that we develop a network of conceptions by which we are bound within the samsara cycle of existence. But in reality, there is no such person or self having independent existence. That is the meaning of selflessness of the person. Now, in the case of the meaning of the ka, the mind that realizes suchness will not abide in any object and focus of true grasping, and so therefore the mode of perception by this mind and the way of existence of the selflessness are harmonious. So that's the meaning of inseparability represented by this word ka. And Shri symbolizes the wisdom of inseparability of bliss and wisdom, because just as in the case of the object, that is emptiness, which is free from all kinds of fabrications, so similarly, the subjective mind of bliss, the great bliss, also is free from all kinds of focus of self-grasping, and therefore, just like water being placed in water, it totally gets absorbed into that object of emptiness without interrupted by even the subtlest forms of dualistic appearances. Next reading is from Thakpo Kesang, the text. Hold the gibbets. And when you meditate on the selflessness of the person, then it's important to meditate on it through analyzing, through adopting the four ways of analysis, as is explained in Chandrakirti's Madhyamika Avatara. So in this text he makes some detailed explanation about how this grasping of the self develops within us, and advises us that it's not enough to read this point in the text, but you should yourself examine how such a grasping arises based on your own experience. So by reflecting on the meaning of Heruka, in order to actually purify your mind, in the case of the stages of the path, for the sake of easier understanding, first the selflessness of the person is taught, meditation on the selflessness of the person is taught, and then the meditation on the selflessness of the phenomena is being taught. Next reading is from Chapter Tajarumbuchi's text. So we are still talking about how to the process of purifying the three doors, body, speech and mind, through reflecting on the meaning of the words Heruka, Shri Heruka. And in this text it says that this meditation of purifying the three doors is an uncommon practice found in the Chakra Samhara and a practice which is not found in other tantric classes. So it is in this context that you need to reflect on the meaning of the three letters Shri Heruka.
Yes, you do.
So in this text he says there is a difference between the meaning of these two words, which His Holiness earlier said was difficult, Shiri and Ka, where he says that the Ka represents the mode of existence of the object. The Ka denotes the meaning, that the mode of the existence of the object and the way it is perceived by the subjective mind, between these two there is no disharmony. whereas in the case of the meaning denoted by the word Shiri, not only that, but it denotes the wisdom mind that is totally lost into that mode of existence, just like water being placed in water. So therefore the meaning of the word Shri Haruka and the meaning of Shunyata and meaning of Evam, they're all similar. And then also the text says that this yoga of three purification is the shortest self-generation practice of Chakra Samhara. And in addition to this shortest self-generation sadhana of Chakra Samhara, you should also recite the three precious mantras, and then that will actually fulfill the meaning of doing the self-generation. So this completes the explanation for today with the four texts. Now the next explanation will be based on the self-generation sadhana. Now having So if you have the, probably if you have the long sadhana, then it should be there, as His Holiness discussed in relation to the other texts. We are now here reading primarily about blessing the Vajra and the bell, and then blessing the internal offering, which starts from Om Khandarohe Hong Hong Pe Om Soboy Shuddha Savadama Soboy Shuddha Hong, and then dissolving into emptiness and so on. And if you do the shorter version of the blessing, the internal offering, and then ha ho ri, can through the recitation of these three letters, you can purify the defects of the color, the taste, and the smell, and then the offering is transformed into nectar. And then next is making the preliminary torma offering, and for that first of you have to bless the offering, and this again starts from Om Khandarohe Hong Hong Pe, and then you meditate on emptiness, and from the state of emptiness you imagine the arisal of the skull, and within which then you imagine the offering substances like water for drinking, washing the feet, and so on. So even though they appear in the aspect of this offering substances, but their actual nature is emptiness, and they have the function of satisfying the six senses and producing uncontaminated bliss. And having removed the obstructive force, purified the defilements and increased them, then again you should bless the preliminary offerings as you have done in the case of internal offering. And having prepared all the offerings, including the torma, then you invite the guests with the recitation of the letter Phem, which means come and sit. And this, as you will remember, is done by emanating a rays of light from the syllable Hong at your heart, and then this rays of light goes towards the directional gardens, field gardens, nagas, and so forth. They abide in the eight cemeteries and so forth, and then they are dissolved into the to the clear light. And here His Holiness earlier explained that you should also meditate on the leg of inherent existence of the eye of these directional gardens and so forth, and imagine that these directional gardens and so forth are also able to understand their own ultimate reality, that they lack inherent existence. And in this way, they are able to understand the meaning of inherent existence. And then from their state of emptiness, they arise into the form of male-female chakra samara. And then the offerings are made, as we said earlier, that the essence of dharma and offerings are taken through the hollow light that comes out from their tongue. Then offering of this dharma is made by saying Om Kha Kha Khae Khae, meaning now enjoy these foods. And then again you make the offerings like Argam Pade Pube, as you know, and then the internal offerings. Om Ahung to the mouth of the directional gardens, field gardens, nagas and so forth. And then you invite the gods, nagas, yakshas, ogresses, buddhas, hungry ghosts, flesh eaters, the so right now you have imagined all of them in the form of Chakrasamara, so there is no harm in making offerings to them. And having transformed these evil forces, you seek their support, saying that to us, the yogis, give us a life free from sickness, long life, power and so on. In other words, support us so that we are able to fulfill all our purposes, and then play the bell and recite 100 syllable mantra one time. And there is a footnote which I have written here when I was receiving the teaching, which reads that we should imagine syllable R on the crown of these directional gardens, and then imagine the recitation of 100 syllable mantra, and in this way imagine that they are all satisfied because of their understanding of bliss and emptiness, because of the offerings they received, because of the imagination of flow of the nectar and so forth. So imagine that then when you say Om Vajramu, that means now please depart to your respective places, having enjoyed the food. Om Vajramu, meaning that depart to your places, means that later on when you generate the mandala, then imagine that these guests, when you say Vajramu or go to your respective places, either you imagine actually moving to their respective places, or imagine them going at a distance from us, so that later on when you prepare the mandala, they will be outside the mandala in their respective places and facing towards yourself and protecting you from all kinds of obstructions. So at least you should imagine that whether they go to their actual place or stay outside the mandala, that they are forever there. Forever there to protect you. His Holiness is saying that you can expect them protect you and help you because you have offered them torma. So there is a little connotation of corrupt practice. You are trying to bribe them. So here again, as we reflected in the beginning, that this is again a play and arrangement of your conceptions, that you offer them dharma and in return you expect them protect you from obstructions. And whereas in the case of bodhisattvas, they have no expectation at all. And the next is the offering of the self-generation, starting from the mantras Khanda Rohi Hung Hung Pe up to Benza Shabda Ahung. And here the blessing should be done as is done in the case of the preliminary offering. And the next is Vajrasattva meditation, where you first reflect on the object of taking refuge and generation of bodhicitta. The taking of visualization of refuge should be done in accordance with whichever is convenient to your mind and with whichever process you are habituated and familiar. And the actual words are that I have always taken refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And particularly I always take refuge to the Lama, the fourth object of refuge. And for the benefit of all sentient beings, I transform myself into Heruka. and I will help all sentient beings achieve the state of Heruka. So here you need to reflect about the causes of achieving the Buddhahood, and the more you have a clearer understanding of the possibilities of achieving enlightenment and so forth, the stronger will be your faith. So in this way you should take refuge and then generate bodhicitta. And these two practices are the most important practices of a Buddhist. So you can recite these verses. Here the text says three times, but what is really important is to recite them as much as possible until you are able to develop strong emotion, positive emotion and the feeling within your mind. And then induced by this strong sense of taking refuge, then you should develop bodhicitta by reciting the last four lines, which reads, for the benefit of all sentient beings, that I will arise into Heruka. Next is the actual recitation and meditation of Vajrasattva, so which you will find in your sadhana. And when the line reads that on the moon at the heart, so here it will be good if you imagine the heart of both the male and female deities, and they are imagining the syllable Hung on the moon, and then around it the 100 syllable mantra. Particularly when you imagine purifying the negative deeds, you can do so by thinking that because of virtuous practices you have obtained precious human life, met with the teaching, and you are able to understand what is to be adopted and what is to be given up, and then it is in this way that you are able to purify negative deeds and so forth. And when you make the offerings pleasing the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then you should not think only about the material offerings, but the offerings of virtuous practices. For example, today we have been reflecting and discussing about bodhicitta, emptiness and so forth. So this should be offered. Then having completed the Vajrasattva visualization, then you can again imagine the purification of the defilements of body, speech and mind, and the common defilements of body, speech and mind through imagining. You can do the visualization of purifying the defilements of body, speech, and mind, and the common defilements of body, speech, and mind, imagining that you received the four empowerments or through the visualization of the flow of nectar, that the negative deeds and obstructions are being pushed down and sent out from the lower opening, or the nectar filling your whole body from below, and then sending the negative deeds from your mouth and so on. And you can also imagine negative deeds being heaped at your heart, and then they're all thrown away. Another more convenient way of reflection is to imagine that these obscurations and negative deeds are present within your body, just like a darkness in a room, and then suddenly imagine the virtuous qualities arising and visiting, like the light. And when you switch on the light, the darkness immediately goes out, and there's no need to worry about where did the darkness go. It simply vanished, and nowhere to be traced out. Whereas if you imagine them as a heap of garbage, then you might get concerned, where will the garbage will remain. Next is the yoga of the three purifications by reflecting on the meaning of Shri Hiduka. So as explained earlier, the word ka here denotes the meaning of emptiness, which is the object and having no inherent existence. And just as is the reality of that emptiness, similarly the mind perceiving it also enters into such a nature. And then the Shri, the word Shri denotes the meaning that not only such is the reality of the mind and the object emptiness, but this reality is being realized and understood by that primordial wisdom. So this is the practice of purification of the mind, and then you arise into the form of male and female chakra samhara or heruka, and that is purifying your body. And then recitation of the mantra and visualizing them, their meaning is the purification of the speech. So this completes the second explanation. So first is blessing of Vajra and Bell. Vajra, as you know, symbolizes the inseparability of the bliss and emptiness, and it also has the meaning of inseparability of the illusory body and emptiness. And this illusory body is represented by the Vajra, and the clear light is represented by the Bell. So it is the connotation of inseparability of bliss and emptiness, and also the inseparability of the true truths. So recalling the meaning, you should keep the vajra and the bell. And next is blessing the internal offering, and then making the preliminary torma offering and blessing it, and then blessing the torma and then inviting the guests, and this impure sentient beings who have been invited as guests is then put within the clear light, and they are transformed into Heruka, and then blessing the tongue, the external and internal offerings are being offered, and then seek their blessing support. And then you do the falling of the nectar for purifying negative deeds, and then Vajrasattva practice, and the practice of the three purifications. So His Holiness is reading from the Chakrasamara prayer. So as I said yesterday, that tonight you need to review what I've already explained and visualize the points that has been already discussed.